Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, exploring the issues that impact our community, providing an in-depth analysis of the latest national discussion and hitting the issues hard in a thoughtful, passionate, and provocative way. We have another great show for you this morning, returning as promised. Henry Hollingshead, my former co-host. Or was I your co-host?
Who knows? Whosever turn it was the host.
Yes, it was my turn on 88.1 FM, The Storm. And we had a great time there. And I certainly love when you are here in the studio because we get to banter about politics and talk about some of the salient issues that are impacting our community and our country. So welcome back again, Henry.
Thanks, Ron. It's glad to be here.
Now, I hope you watch your A-game.
Oh, believe me, I'm loaded for bear today.
Well, listen, we're going to talk about Benghazi. We're going to talk about the kidnapped girls in Nigeria. We're going to talk about the economy. We're going to talk about a host of things. So it is, again, a pleasure to have you here to talk about these things. And where have you been in the last, I don't know, you were here last week, but beyond that, were you traveling? What were you doing?
Well, pretty much traveling, getting around, seeing a few people. I went up and saw my son and traveled around, did a few things, trying to get back on the radio, you know, standard things.
You know, one of the interesting things about having you here is that I needed someone who could really go at it with me and someone who has a, you know, slightly different political perspective.
Well, I have a different political perspective than you, Ron. That's true.
Let's talk about Benghazi. I find it fascinating that another select committee is being impaneled to once again investigate something that I don't see a clear picture as to why we have to continue talking about this issue.
Okay, that's a real good point, and they had a lot of different things come out on it, and we've had 50 different meetings and everything else, but I have two questions that I would like to have an answer to. Question number one.
Now, are you asking me that question?
Anyway. And the way I'm asking this question is if there's any doubt in your mind, let's get to an answer because we have four dead bodies.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did it take 15 hours to get troops to help them? This battle lasted 4 hours and a half. It started at 9:40 Benghazi time. Benghazi is a town of 500,000. It's the second biggest city in Libya. Libya is an ally. Why did it take 15 hours to get troops there?
Well, as you know, Trey Gowdy is heading the select committee, and of course there is some grumblings from the Democratic Party about whether or not the panel is going to have a fair representation of voices, Democrats in terms of Republicans. And so let's take a listen to what Trey Gowdy has to say, because I think he asks the very same question. Take a listen to this.
For me personally, why our administration missed episode of violence after episode of violence in Libya leading up to September 11th, 2012, an attack on the British ambassador, an attack on the International Red Cross, an attack on our own facility with the last flag flying in Benghazi on the night our four fellow citizens were murdered. I think it is eminently fair to ask, why was that the case? Others would go to the talking points, some would go to the military response, but I want to know why, when we had noted, we were placed on actual notice that Benghazi is a dangerous place, why were we still there?
See, to me, that can be answered. That can be answered. We are America. We stay to the end. I can understand everything that they've done, and they're going to be able to cover everything of that. Mm-hmm. The thing they cannot cover is why a QRF, a quick reaction force, was not sent to aid those people. Well, we know for a fact that it went to Hillary Clinton's desk because at 10 o'clock Washington, D.C. time, when the battle ended at 8:30, by 10 o'clock a statement was released by the State Department blaming the video.
Well, let me read a response, because I think it's important that we contextualize this. And it really bothers me, because I think this is used as political expediency. Obviously, the 2014 elections are coming up, and the base is riled up as a result of this Benghazi story. It's being pushed by Fox News and other right-wing media outlets. And I think these questions have been answered. And one of the interesting things, and I think it's important for you to know, we have 500 diplomatic missions around the world, Henry, and our military can't respond in quick time to every situation. And I take exception to the idea that we think that we can actually stop every or prevent every attack from happening.
I'm not saying to stop the event from happening. That's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
What I am saying is that we know for a fact that the attack started at Washington, D.C. time, 3 o'clock. By 4 o'clock, the State Department said the attack began. By 4:15, the attack was in full force. Between 4:15 and 4:45, we know Sean Smith died. We have evidence of this attack going on. My question is, in a town of 500,000, when it is a country that is an ally of ours, why did it take 4.5 hours to, during a battle, we never got anybody there to help? Finally, at 10 o'clock or at 8:30, with the help of Libyan forces, the consulate was held. Now, this is all stuff from Fact Check. My question is, why weren't we there to help these guys?
Well, let's let Hillary Clinton answer that question.
Yes.
But what was going on and why they were doing what they were doing?
We were misled that there were supposedly protests, and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But,
and the American people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator. Now, honestly, I will do my best to answer your questions about this, but the fact is that people were trying in real time to get to the best information. The IC has a process, I understand, going with the other committees to explain how these talking points came out. But, you know, to be clear, it is, from my perspective, less important today, looking backwards, as to why these militants decided they did it than to find them and bring them to justice, and then maybe we'll figure out what was going on in the meantime.
Well, interestingly, Henry,
ridiculous.
You might think it's ridiculous, but as we are unraveling all the nuances of this situation, I think it's important that we remember that we shouldn't use these dead Americans as political football to fundraise, and that's what's happening.
No, that's
right
bad.
And I'm glad you admit that's bad.
100%, that is totally wrong. They're taking the eye off the ball, and it's the biggest mistake the Republicans can make. Listen, we've got to be focused on this thing. Mm-hmm. There are problems on some. If the story is true, okay, if the story is true that they honestly believe it was caused by a video, if this is what they honestly believe, I'm sure glad these people weren't in charge at the beginning of World War II, because December 8th, they would have declared war on Brazil. I mean, these people are out of control. Now, this is September 16th. The attack happened on Tuesday. This is Sunday, after the talk shows by Susan Rice. This is what the president of Libya said. The attacks were planned months in advance. The idea that this criminal and cowardly act was a spontaneous protest that just spun out of control is completely unfounded and preposterous. We firmly believe that this was a pre-calculated, pre-planned attack that was carried out specifically to attack the U.S. consulate. Now, that was by the president, Mohammed Magarif, on September 16th, after Susan Rice got up and made a fool of herself on national television.
Well, I would suggest that she didn't make a fool of herself. She was using information provided to her by our government. Now, I think it's instructive to know that we've had 9 different House and Senate committees have already investigated the attacks. 13 hearings have been conducted. 50 briefings have taken place. 25 transcribed interviews have been conducted. 8 subpoenas have been issued. More than 25,000 pages of documents have been reviewed. 6 congressional reports have been released. So we are investigating the investigation. We are literally beating a dead horse. We understand that there was a problem. We understand that there perhaps was a security breach. We understand that the military couldn't respond in real time. But we should not fundraise off of this. We shouldn't exploit it for political purpose. And in fact, because this is a midterm election year, every Republican that is using this as a reason to bully and bash President Obama, they ought to be denounced for using political expediency to get into office.
Okay, I want to say one thing right up front. If anybody thinks this is going to wind up at President Obama's feet, they are totally and completely out of their mind. Okay? They need a mental enema. I'm telling you, the only adult in the room was President Obama on this thing. And he did the right thing. He fired Hillary.
Well, let me go look out the window. Is it snowing outside? I can't believe this.
Hell has just gotten ice water.
Wow.
Okay. I want to say this, though.
Go ahead.
I say this. The Accountability Review Board in 2012. Now, remember, they didn't have all the facts. All this stuff was buried. Seriously, we have all these questions, okay? The Accountability Review Board, this was their comment. Systematic management and leadership failures at the State Department led to grossly inadequate security at the mission at Benghazi. Now, my question is this. If the Accountability Board had had all the facts without the falderal, the actual facts, would they have come out and said that it was Hillary's fault? I believe they do, and we should give them a chance to do it.
Well, listen, I understand your point, and I can see that there was a problem. There will continue to be problems as long as we have a presence around the world, as long as we have 500 diplomatic missions around the world. We are always under a threat, just like with President Reagan, with what happened in Beirut. Absolutely. So the deal is we are always under constant threat. And I think it really bothers me more than anything else is how dead Americans are being literally exploited for political purposes. Now, I'm not going to besmirch Chris Stevens at all, our ambassador who was killed in this, but he bears some responsibility too. There was some issue surrounding his request or non-request for the kind of aid that you're talking about.
So again, let's find it out.
Not besmirching him, but this has already been talked about. This has already been investigated, Henry.
Do you know the answers?
I don't know the answers.
Neither do I. They haven't put them out. So let's put them out and get the answers. All I'm saying is let's put it out and get the answers.
After 9 different House committees, you're suggesting to me that we still haven't gotten the answers.
After 9 different House committees that... Yes.
And 13 hearings.
And 50
briefings.
And you know why it took 15 hours to get troops there. In a city of 500,000. I mean, they could have called Benghazi 911.
Well, even the military experts have already said they would not have been able to get there
on time anyway. Who did we call to get help for them? Did we call Benghazi?
No, we called.
Did we call this in-house?
We called
like the
closest,
dust up with Custer and Sitting Bull?
Even the closest military, even our closest soldiers in the area were not able to get there on time. It would have been impossible.
Did they try?
Yes, they tried. Henry, you know they tried.
It took them six and a half hours.
Well, if it took them 6.5, are you suggesting to me that they could have gotten it closer?
Yes.
What evidence do you have that they could have gotten it in 15 or 20 minutes?
That's what I want to find out.
But they've already indicated, Henry, that they were not able to get there no faster, no quicker than they've already had.
But one general got up and he said they could have gotten
it. That's one general's perspective.
That's why I want to find out.
But there are other generals who contradicted that.
That's why I want to find out what happened, Ron. That's why I want to find out what happened.
Well, perhaps you may not know the answer because you're clouded by Fox News, talking points, and the political expediency that so pervades this conversation. And it really irks me to no end that these people are being exploited this way. Well, we got to move on.
Okay. Next topic.
This is what happens when we get in the room.
When the argument comes down to a fundraiser, Ron, it's time to move on. Okay?
Absolutely. You know, one of the interesting things, you know, we were, I was actually last week, maybe a week or so ago, and I was watching television, and I hadn't paid attention to what was going on in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And when I found out that all of these women, all of these young girls were being kidnapped by this thug.
Oh, and this guy's out of control.
Yeah, his ragtag group of militants.
Well, the name
was astounding
of the group
to me.
Is
Boko Haram.
Yeah, Boko Haram, which means American
Education is a sin.
And he's standing there with one of the most modern rifles I've ever seen. I mean, come on, dude. You know, if you can shoot it, you got to be able to build it. I mean, come on. I mean, jeez.
Yeah, well, one of the interesting things really bothered me is how Fox News and the right-wing media have responded to this. And, of course, you know that the hashtag bring our girls home or bring our girls back has, literally galvanized
Absolutely.
The entire world.
And it's done no good whatsoever. Actually, I think it's given the guy more credence and more...
Why do you suppose it hadn't done any good? Now the entire world knows about what's going on. Our political leaders are now being forced to do something about it. They are forcing Nigeria to take a more active role in it.
That's a very interesting question. Why wasn't this group on the watch list?
I couldn't answer why they're not on the watch list.
Because
I do know President
Obama.
Hardly
anybody on the watch list because they said Al Qaeda was under control and they didn't want to show it growing.
I do understand President Obama made a statement about this about a week or so ago. They were being watched. Whether or not they were on a watch list, they were aware of the group. They understand how dangerous they are.
Yeah.
But I think a more important point for me, because you're raising this question about whether or not it's helping, the point is the world has been galvanized. And I take exception to Sean Hannity and all these folks over at Fox News ridiculing the American people about doing these hashtags. You know, again, the hashtag.
Yeah. I think that it's not hurting anybody. It's bringing things to light. You know what kind of amazes me on this whole thing? To be honest with you. And now we have 230 girls or 300 girls. I mean, horrible story. Horrible story. And yet, across Afghanistan and all these places, when Sharia law comes back into power, because we're leaving these areas, all these women are going to be sent almost to the same thing. And as America pulls back and Sharia law takes over, I hope America realizes what you're giving to these people, because you're giving all of the women in these countries, you're putting them in slavery.
Well, one of the things that I think our presence is so important around the world, and I do think that because we are a leading superpower and because we are really the best democracy around the world, that our example should serve as an example to these countries. Unfortunately, when you got people who are trapped or mired in the past, as we're seeing on display today, it is very difficult to change culture. You know, there's a difference between responding to genocide and dealing with a cultural situation.
Absolutely.
And how people are treating their
Sure.
women.
Sure.
And so the best that we can do is serve as an example of how you treat women. But I think, again, the immediate problem is these girls. How do we deal with this? And again, why we are criticizing Michelle Obama, this veiled attack on her because she is standing there with a sign saying, bring our girl. What better person, particularly for a mother, to stand there and indicate her outrage.
Yeah,
but then
Mother's
Day. Yeah, but then you got people who are criticizing that. I don't get that.
It's a waste of time. Personal opinion, I think we should do much more. I think what is really holding us back in this thing is the country.
Our country or Nigeria?
Nigeria. Not receiving help. They waited so long before they took international help.
Right.
They wanted to keep it all quiet. I think that was a horrible, horrible mistake that they made. They should have asked for help up front. I honestly believe we could have gotten somebody there faster than 15 hours. I think we could have gotten on the show. I think we should have drones over there. I think we should be looking. I think we should. There's nothing. No stone should be unturned. But here's the thing. If we do this, are we then going to do it every time this happens?
That's a very important question.
Are we going to get involved in all these wars?
I don't.
Personally, I say yes. I say yes. I say we shouldn't leave.
So you're a hawk.
Listen, on protecting slavery and women, yes, I am a hawk. I think pulling out of these countries, literally, honestly, is the worst thing we can possibly do. Because if we would go into these countries and put in a law and force it in, and we'd put the women in charge over 51% in these countries, the Taliban is beaten because they'll never vote for slavery.
But that is first. That's an impossibility. That's not going to happen. Number one. But I do think that there needs to be a strategic presence so that we can have some influence. Forcing a country to abide by our democracy and our laws and our rules, our constitution, that is not going to happen. Nor should it.
I think we should have, if nothing else, we should have possibly one full battalion on standby for problems like this around the world. Mm-hmm. Because if you allow this to go on, where's the next one going to be?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
This isn't going to be one time and we pay this guy off or something like that and we get these girls back and everybody jumps around happy. It's just a matter of time until somebody else does it.
Yeah.
Now, where are we going to draw the line on this thing? I say we go in and we draw it one time and we draw it hard. I mean, we finish this thing.
I don't have any disagreement with you on that. The Affordable Care Act.
Oh, okay.
That's your favorite subject, isn't it? Obamacare.
We'll work on it.
15 million people around the country now have insurance as a result of the Affordable Care Act, derisively known as Obamacare. I do think one of the interesting things as we were debating this issue several months ago, there were all kinds of doom and gloom. The sky was going to fall, all those kind of things. And unfortunately for your side of the perspective, it didn't happen, Henry.
Well, if you look at Oregon, if you look at Maryland, if you look at Massachusetts, and I can't remember the other state, but there were four states that have already gotten out of it. My computer just went dead. Great. I knew it. This is a plot. This is a plot. You want us to stop fair and balanced here.
Well, and listen, 8 million people have signed up, upward of 15 million altogether.
But 75% of them had insurance before, and the percentage that's going to be keeping the insurance after 90 days is certainly in question. Rates of already going up at least 8% in the states that are starting to report. The thing is a total debacle. It is
not a debacle when you have 80% of the 80% or over 80% of the enrollees are already have already paid their first premiums. People
but
have signed
75%
up.
75% had insurance before, Ron.
Well, listen.
That's only 5%.
No, your figures are wrong. But I think here's a more salient point here, and that is now we have people who have existed without insurance, people who have had to live their life without having the security of knowing that if something were to happen in their lives, they have some means to be able to pay for it. And I keep telling people when we argue about this issue is that people are paying into the system. It is not as if they are getting it for free. Folks have got to pay into the system. And I think that is a responsibility every American has. Pay into the system so that if you have a problem, you go to the emergency room, you are not being a drain on the taxpayer.
Let me ask you a question.
And by the way, the system is working out in such a way that premiums are dropping, particularly for folks who have already have insurance. Now, the insurance industry, these folks are now competing for dollars. And that is the best thing about all of this.
Wait until you get your rates later. Now, I do have a question for you on this entire Obamacare. Mm-hmm. Why didn't we expand Social Security to cover everybody?
I don't know. I can't answer
that
question.
We had, when you nationalized the automobile industry, you had everyone's medical records from all of the unions. You had all of the dealerships, everyone who worked in all of the dealerships, all of their records. You had the United States, anyone who worked for the United States government, armed forces or whatever, you had all of their records. You could have taken all of those records, started to put it into the system, worked out the problems of the system as you put these groups into the system, expand Medicare, and read the bill, and we wouldn't have the problem we have now. Well, the problem we have now, Ron, is basically this. The system is totally flawed because the system was not read. You are going to have to start over or redo this system. Well, it's not going to work the way it is.
Well, the percentage of uninsured Americans is down by 15.9% according to Gallup. Healthcare costs in the United States as a share of gross domestic product dropped for the first time since 1997. Now, 57% of people polled said they had an unfavorable view of Obamacare. But the contradiction here is when they were asked about Connect, which is equivalent or is Obamacare, they had a favorable view. 61% of people polled wanted to keep Obamacare, while 38% of people polled wanted to repeal Obamacare.
They asked Oregon that question?
Yeah. Huh?
They asked Oregon that question?
Well, Gallup has been asking different states.
They asked Maryland that question?
Well, Gallup has been asking different states.
Yeah.
And again,
there are four states that have already cashed in.
But people who, for instance, in Kentucky, I believe it is, when they were asked about Connect, they had much favorable...
Yes. Kentucky is good.
Well, they had a much favorable opinion of Connect without understanding that is Obamacare. That is the Affordable Care Act.
And if you don't think...
It's amazing to me.
You
got 30 seconds left.
Population-wise, Obamacare, 56% of the country is against it. And when this election comes... All you want to say, I'm going to say count the votes because this election right now is going to be the Empire Strikes Back.
Well, as host of the show, I get to close out and I will suggest to you this, that it is a really great thing that upward of 15 million people now have health coverage, and we are going to work out the kinks of the system so that we can constantly expand this. We are an industrialized nation that is ranking so far behind every other nation in terms of providing health care for its citizens. And I think it's abominable that we cannot figure out a way to work together to make sure that people are not having or going without the security of health care. And we got to end the show there.
Okay, Ron.
It's been a pleasure, Henry. Thank you so much for coming in.
Ron, thanks very much for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to again thank my friend Henry Hollingshead for coming in to talk about some of the very important issues that are impacting our nation and our world. I am so looking forward to next week. We're going to have part two of our discussion on world affairs, particularly issues relating to our economy and any of the issues that are impacting our nation. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com. or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. This show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.